Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that in our words and deeds, the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our reading today is from the first book of Corinthians, beginning with the first chapter at the 18th verse. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce nothing to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to the fifth chapter of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan are two individuals who are very busy, excited, and likely just a tad bit stressed today. While around 100 million of us or so will be gorging ourselves on pizza, chicken wings, chips as we lounge from our comfortable furniture and watch the Super Bowl, Reid and Shanahan will be coaching in it. A lot of time, hard work, and good fortune have brought them to this game, to the pinnacle of their profession, and today is the day that they are putting it all on the line as their two respective teams battle it out for the NFL championship. Before the Chiefs and the 49ers take the field in several hours, Reid and Shanahan will have the opportunity to address their teams one final time. This, as you likely well know, is called the pregame pep talk. And whether the pregame talk is given at the Super Bowl or at a Pee Wee regular season game, it's an important message. This is a coach's last chance to make sure that the team is focused and they are fired up and ready to play. With a game like the Super Bowl, the coaches have probably been planning their pep talk for days in advance in an attempt to find just the right words and expressions to inspire their team and help lead them to victory. And for Reid and Shanahan's sake, along with their teams, I hope that their talks do not include any of the quotes from Jesus' teaching this morning. In Matthew's gospel, we just heard Jesus give his own sort of pregame pep talk. Jesus isn't getting his followers ready to play a game. He's trying to get them ready to do ministry. And instead of gathering them together into some locker room, Jesus takes the disciples up a mountain. While there, Jesus gives one of the most well-known talks of all time. And as he does, he lifts up an unusual collection of people. He names the poor in spirit, referring to those who are broken, downtrodden by life, and have potentially lost hope. Those who mourn, those who suffer loss and have feelings of despair and emptiness that can follow that loss. The meek, those who are gentle and unobtrusive, those who refuse to use their power over others as a tool to make things happen. The merciful, people who willingly surrender their privilege or otherwise go out of their way to improve others' well-being. Those who are persecuted, people who have experienced the removal of their rights, wholeness, or dignity. In Jesus' talk, his focus is on weak, powerless, vulnerable, and servant-hearted people. People that Jesus declares to be blessed. Can you begin to see why I have advised Coach Reid and Coach Shanahan not to quote this message? In football terms, those who are meek, merciful, and poor in spirit are most certainly not blessed. In football, blessed are the strong, blessed are the aggressive, blessed are the intensely competitive, blessed are the schemers and the strategizers who know how to take advantage of the other team's weaknesses. These are the kind of football players and teams who are blessed, because these are the kind of football players who win games, who win championships, who win multi-million dollar contracts. The meek, the merciful, and poor in spirit definitely don't accomplish such things on the football field. The tricky thing about Jesus' pre-ministry pep talk is that it not only doesn't work so well in a football game, the message also doesn't always play out so great in an office or a classroom or in a high school cafeteria or in politics. Being meek, merciful, poor in spirit, or persecuted doesn't typically put someone on the fast track to gaining popularity or bigger paychecks or positions of authority or to be recipients of other frequently sought after accolades. You know, the sorts of things that the world would consider to be blessings. Now, these characteristics and conditions that Jesus lists will make life much more challenging for those who endure them. All sorts of complications and troubles shall arise for such people in such situations, and yet Jesus tells them, Jesus tells us, that we are blessed. For anyone to make sense of Jesus' pregame pep talk, for us to be able to grasp how someone who is poor in spirit or persecuted or mourning can be considered blessed, we need more of the story. We need to leave that mountaintop locker room where Jesus and his team are huddled up, and we have to watch how they end up playing out their ministry. And when we do, when we look at the rest of Scripture, we can see how on possession after possession, Jesus kept showing up in the places we'd least expect, associating with the people we'd never imagine him talking to. And in those unlikely places, along with those surprising people, Jesus would miraculously restore what was once broken and bring healing to what was once sick. As Jesus traveled around the villages and countrysides, preaching, teaching, and healing, Christ's game plan seemed to be working out quite effectively. That is, until he got arrested. If that momentum changer wasn't bad enough, Christ's death on the cross seemed to be the play that he would not recover from. After further review, though, it was clear that that turnover hadn't ended everything after all. Jesus was alive, and sin and death were defeated. This is how Jesus' pep talk can begin to make sense, because this is how the poor in spirit, how the meek, how the merciful, how those who mourn, and how those who are persecuted are blessed. They are blessed. We are blessed because of Jesus' ultimate victory. It is because of his defeat of sin and death that we have hope. Hope that no matter the difficulties we may be facing, they are not final. This is immensely reassuring, because even if we are doing everything within our power right now to strive to live as Jesus has called us to live, life may very well be kicking our rear ends. And as painstaking as that might be, thanks to Jesus, we can find comfort in knowing that the way things are not the way things will always be. Like I said earlier, I do not advise Coach Reed or Coach Carroll to quote from Jesus' pregame pep talk, as it's not going to help them accomplish their objective to get that win and the championship that they so desire. Jesus isn't so concerned about us trying to win or to achieve a certain level of professional achievement or to have swarms of adoring fans. Jesus has a different purpose for his message. At the onset of the disciples' ministry, and today as we are working to continue ours, Jesus' aim is for us is to make sure that no matter what kind of schemes the world is throwing at us, that we keep playing, that we keep living, and that we keep doing the ministry of loving God and our neighbors that has been laid before us to do. That is Jesus' objective. As such, Jesus does not offer us words of motivation or strategy. He gives us hope. For in this life, confetti isn't always going to be falling from the sky, and trophies aren't always going to be triumphantly lifted into the air. We will all face hardships, we will all face challenges, and we will all face defeats. But through Jesus' victory, regardless of the situation we may find ourselves in, we always have hope. And because of that hope, because of Jesus, we are and will forever be blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And no.